Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can you all hear me? Okay, just want to make sure. As a mom, running into school to check on my children, or in a grocery store, or at a playground talking to friends while the kids are playing, I will frequently hear, "Mommy!" And I and all the other moms turn to see if it's our kid calling us. Though we know our children and their voices, sometimes we hear a myriad of voices, and it is difficult to discern quickly if we heard the right voice. Before there was the written Bible, the good news of Jesus Christ was passed on by eyewitnesses of his followers' account of his life, death, and resurrection by word of mouth. It wasn't until years later, as late as 60 to 90 years after his death, that the oral traditions were written down. And as you could tell by the game of telephone that George and Tom and Annie played, sometimes things get lost. And there are so many variations of what Jesus is purportedly understood to be by different people that the author of the Gospel of John, rather than writing the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in chronological order, writes theologically so that, in pointing to the signs of Jesus' miraculous healing stories and works, all people might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. So far in John's Gospel, Jesus has only claimed to be the Christ to the Samaritan woman, and more subtly to the man born blind prior to this story. So when he is asked to plainly state whether he is the Messiah, it would lead to difficulty, since he does not have the qualities of the expected Messiah. For him to claim to be the Messiah and to claim to be one with God would put his life in danger due to the laws against blasphemy. We do need to be conscious that this text can easily become misused to fuel hate, as the strong language against the Jews in the gospel has tragically been taken out of context, misinterpreted, misused at times to support anti-Semitic sentiment and violent acts. We disavow any hate and violence against the Jews, our brothers and sisters. And we need to realize that due to the tragic hate crimes against our Jewish sisters and brothers everywhere around the world in our country, it's important to understand that the Gospel of John is written at a time when the key issue for the writer and his community was their relationship to the synagogue. Today's story was amidst a break between the Jewish synagogue and those Jews who claimed Jesus as the Messiah. Scholars pinpoint that break between the years 80 or 90 after Jesus' death and resurrection, and therefore date this text to that time frame. In today's context of horrific anti-Semitic hate crimes around the country, theologian and scholar Gail Day O'Connor has commentary that is quite fitting. We must try to understand the break in John's community as metaphorically and often quite literally as a rupture in family. Anyone who has experienced the heartbreaking divorce, estrangement, or cutoff within their own family or church family may be able to understand the heart-wrenching emotions surrounding that break. Anger, hurt, resentment, fear, heartbreak, misunderstandings can turn into heated expressions not often conducive to insight, understanding, truth-telling, repentance, forgiveness, healing, and reconciliation. Both sides are hurt, often quite bitterly and resentfully or regretfully. O'Connor points out that these new Christians or Jews who now believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God were faced with an impossible choice. They could claim Jesus as the Messiah and be forced to leave the synagogue and the community that had nurtured them and given them life, or they could remain in the synagogue and deny what they believed the fullness of God's gift to the world. The intense language that John uses is fraught with the pain of this choice. John does not speak of the Jewish people when he says the Jews, but he uses the Jews as a symbol for powers and authorities who oppose and, as he describes them, are blind to the witness of Jesus. Instead of using this insider language of the Jews to speak about any historical or contemporary Jewish community as an outsider, O'Connor recommends that we best capture the original intent of the story by applying its critique to the powers and authorities within our own Christian community who oppose and do not recognize the witness of Jesus. Where have we failed to hear the voice of Jesus and failed to follow him in our own communal life together? As there are many variations of what we hear people believe Jesus to be in John's gospel, there are many variations of what we hear Jesus to be in our secularized Christian world. Sometimes we hear that he only loves us if we are perfect, a complete falsity, as we know that only Jesus is perfect. Sometimes we hear that he only loves us if we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and help others without asking for help ourselves, although God created us to be interdependent with each other, independent on God for all good things. Sometimes we hear that our mistakes are so bad that we are not redeemable. Fake news if I ever heard it. Jesus is the one who enters into our broken lives, has walked our suffering, and has taken our suffering with him to the cross to shower us with his mercy and love and grace, which the world cannot give. And it is Jesus that gives us new and abundant life in him. With him, every day is a new beginning when we turn to him and leave our sin at the foot of the cross, where he pleads to God, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The good news is that Jesus promises to redeem all of creation at the end of time. Nothing is outside of his love and grace, not even you or me or even our worst enemy. All things and people will be healed and reconciled back to God and each other when Jesus returns. Thanks be to God. In John's previous text before today's gospel reading, we have what is known as the beginning of the Good Shepherd text. Jesus proclaims himself to be the Good Shepherd who knows his sheep by name and leads them out. After he has led his sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him because his sheep hear his voice. He is the gate through which the sheep enter and are saved and will be coming in and will go out and find pasture through him. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. Yet Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How do we baptize Christians, Jesus' sheep, who enter the gate by his choosing as we were claimed by God, as God's beloved forgiven children in baptism, being tied to Jesus Christ crucified and risen? Hear the voice of Jesus among so many other voices we hear throughout our day. Like the moms who hear mommy and immediately turn our head to see if it is our child calling. We can be bombarded with voices throughout our day that make us turn our head and find it difficult to discern the voice of Jesus. How do we know if these are the voices of thieves that want to come in and destroy and kill? How do we overcome all the voices that tell us we are not good enough? We are not worthy. We are not loved. We are not redeemable. We need to be perfect. We need to have our stuff together. We need to put on a good face, a good show. We need to have perfect families, have perfect mental, physical, and spiritual health. That we need to be popular and can't make mistakes. That we need to please others. That we need to be A students, have the right job, receive all the trophies, medals, and recognition for everything we do in order to be deemed worthy. All these voices that we hear day in and day out that shape and form who we are, how we relate to others, and how we view ourselves and others are thieves and bandits that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Yet Jesus, the Good Shepherd, reminds us in today's text that his death and resurrection, his forgiveness and mercy, his loving, saving act on the cross for the forgiveness of sin for all people alone, which was gifted to us in baptism, is all that we need to believe, to have life, and have it abundantly. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them new and eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Thanks be to God. Amen.